Good morning, folks, and welcome to this episode of Right Through Now, where we keep ourselves informed on world events, interesting stuff that's going on in the world. Let's begin. So, remote work has kickstarted a hotel subscription living movement. You know how a lot of changes from the pandemic are, you know, going to be temporary, and once things move back to normal, stuff like traffic patterns and pollution, because we are going back to an older time when we used to pollute way more than we did in 2020. We'll get to that in a little bit, but the current story concerns subscription living movement. Well, that's a new type of thing that's happening where people are choosing to live in accommodations where they live and work, and then that's it. So there's a lot of hotels and spaces. For instance, the one mentioned in the article that I'm pulling this from is Zoku Hotel in Amsterdam. And this is one of those places that was opened in 2015 and was designed specifically so that, you know, remote workers and digital nomads had a place to do their business. And it fits the space-saving, you know, loft-up-style apartments into the plots of standard hotel rooms and has a co-working space instead of a lobby, and just employs a permanent community manager whose job it is to facilitate introductions between locals and visitors. So this is like, it's like an office space, but at the same time, it's where people are living. It's where people of all different communities, you know, it's like an office at the same time, but it's not, because all the people there are technically strangers there. They could be from all different walks of life, and they're just there in a shared space working together. I mean, it's, one could argue that isn't it just better to be in an office where you have your colleagues next to you in the first place? But yeah, this is just a different way in which people are doing that. And the added advantage is you can live anywhere in the world as long as your work is remote and you can adapt to the time zone of wherever it is you're supposed to be. I think this is totally reasonable. I see a lot of people doing this in the Himalayas or in the Alps and stuff like that. Just interesting places. It's going to be, you know, more and more of these isolated places, so to speak, are going to be flooded by people who are just remote working. And that actually kind of makes sense. So I think this is one of those things that is, you know, it's like Pandora's box. Now that all this has been opened, for instance, you know, stuff related to remote working, now that this is open, there's no way to go back to a world where remote working was out of the question. So it has good and bad aspects of it, but I think mostly good. Let's see what else is up in the world. Countries are polluting like it's 2019 again. So globally, people produce more planet-heating carbon dioxide emissions in December than they did before the pandemic, new data has shown. It's a sign that the pandemic-related drop in emissions was only temporary and that greenhouse gas emissions are continuing to climb. I think this is very common knowledge at this point that 2020 was one of those years in Earth's history where we kind of broke the trend of just polluting everything in the atmosphere. Almost every country was hit. Many countries were hit disproportionately by the pandemic, but a lot of the pollution that we were causing had reduced to a very significant level. And it looks like that trend is now getting reversed, where we're now polluting like it's 2019 again. And let's see what else the article has to say. The new data caps off a year in which global emissions initially plummeted as a result of restrictions placed to stop the spread of COVID-19. But a brief halt to business as usual won't be enough to avert a more severe climate crisis. To prevent more dire consequences from climate change, economies will need to adopt clean energy as they recover. Yeah, I don't know why, but a lot of countries in the world are just, you know, they continue to use fossil fuels as an important source of their energy. And you might not know this, but it's always good to be aware of your own country and to see what the percentage of where the percentage of electricity, the large percentage of electricity is coming from. And very few times do people actually know where their specific energy is coming from. So it's always good to be aware of stuff like that, because once you're aware, then you can actually do something about this, right? You can vote against people who are, you know, whose entire policy is to continue getting in bed with oil companies and coal companies and continuing to, you know, create a world where pollution exists as a normal. Right, let's see what else is up. NASA's latest Mars rover has the same processor as an iMac from 1998. Let's see what this is all about. NASA's brand new Perseverance rover is the most advanced machine that's ever landed on Mars. But when it comes to rovers, quote, state-of-the-art, end quote, is a subjective term. Perseverance is running on none other than a PowerPC 750, a single-core 233 MHz processor, which is 6 million transistors that's most famous for powering the original Bondi Blue iMac from 1998. It's the same type of processor that NASA already uses in its Curiosity rover. That may seem like a waste to some. After all, even with the difficulty of buying computer parts these days, surely NASA could have found the budget for something like Intel's $500 Core i9-10900K CPU with 10 cores and a max clock speed of 5.3 GHz, somewhere in the $2.7 billion cost of the Perseverance. But as New Scientist explains, such an advanced chip is actually a detriment to the unique operating conditions of Mars. Well, that's largely because of Mars's atmosphere offers far less protection from harmful radiation and charged particles than Earth's atmosphere. And a bad burst of radiation can badly wreck the sensitive electronics of a modern processor. And the more complex the chip, the more can go wrong. So that makes sense. Right, let's see what else is up. So, getting back to the environment theme, apparently. Cancel all planned coal projects globally to end deadly addiction, says UN chief. Call comes at event hosted by the UK government, which is under pressure over planned coal mine in Cumbria. Phasing out coal from the electricity sector is the single most important step to tackle the climate crisis. Guterres' call came at the opening of the summit for Powering Past Coal Alliance, the PPCA, a group of governments and businesses committed to ending coal burning for power. Yeah, that's totally reasonable. I think we have to change our perspectives, and little by little, you know, fundamentally, stuff like this has to be taxed beyond belief. And that is the only way that we get rid of this, because then the market will react. As the same case with plastic as well. I think globally we have to tax the shit out of plastic products, and eventually the market will come up with new solutions to problems. That's just the way it is. Let's see what else is going on. The FBI chief has called the Capitol attack domestic terrorism and defends the U.S. intelligence. Yeah, he's not the first person to say this in the government, and makes sense. But yet again, all we have is like an outside perspective on what took place in the U.S. I think I totally agree that this is a typical example of domestic terrorism. And as I said in a previous episode as well, you know, stuff the US does echoes throughout the world, and it's really good, I feel, when the US agrees to call things what they are, because that allows other countries to follow in their footsteps and realize when far-right nationalism and more or less complete craziness can be branded domestic terrorism. So good on you, US. All right. Volvo plans to go fully electric by 2030 and only sell cars online. Wow. See, this is the kind of change that Tesla has inspired in the world. Volvo will only sell electric cars by 2030, ending gas and diesel engine sales sooner than any other major automakers, the company announced. It also plans to move EV sales online in an effort to develop direct relationships with customers and eliminate any bartering. The decision to go fully electric is an extension of an earlier plan to have 50% of its fleet be fully electric by 2025. The company wrote that it has a firm conviction that the market for combustion vehicles is contracting. There is no long-term future for cars with an internal combustion engine, said Chief Technology Officer Henrik Green. We are firmly committed to becoming an electric-only car maker, and that transition should happen by 2030. I think 2030 is too long. I think 2028 or 2025 would have been a more aggressive target, but I think these people know way more about what they can realistically achieve given their current consumer base and their current tap on technology. I'm really interested to know how this whole electric car game is going to change over the next decade, but I'm really excited about this area of technology. Let's see what else is up. Oh yeah, DJI has officially unveiled its cinematic FPV drone. So DJI is releasing a cinematic first-person view drone that works with its FPV goggles. And you've probably seen the work of an FPV drone if you've seen videos where people are, you know, parachuting off of cliff edges and, you know, there's a drone that's following them, or, you know, there's 360 degrees views of people doing insane stuff. And that has to do with like race cars, any kind of sport, actually. And the ability for, you know, FPV drones to keep up with high speed things that are happening around them, and that tends to be sports most of the times, but also nature as well, you know, just bouncing around ocean waves, keeping up with, you know, the lines of a cliff going down vertically, stuff like that. And FPV drones are part of that movement. And DJI has long been the commercial leader for aerial cinematography. And I guess this is their newest attempt to, you know, keep up to date with what the market is demanding. And the market is clearly demanding an FPV drone. So this is really interesting. A few of my friends are interested in buying this drone as well. So that already tells you that they're going to make some good money. The FPV has several skill-based flight modes. Normal modes make the FPV work in a similar way to other DJI drones. It uses GPS and visual positioning systems to help it hover in place. And it has obstacle detection sensors on the front. I believe it also has a 4K 60fps sensor. And it uses GoPro's Rocksteady stabilization system. All right. Okay. Yeah. A Rocket Lab reveals plan for reusable rocket with 8-ton payload. So Rocket Lab, which is a rocket manufacturing company, is developing a larger rocket that can carry bigger payloads than its current reusable trooper, the Electron. At 131 feet tall, the Neutron launch vehicle will be more than double the size of its predecessor and will also outstrip it in terms of lift capacity. It'll now be capable of carrying 8 metric tons to low Earth orbit compared to the Electron's 660 pounds capacity. And it'll also have a fully reusable first stage that can land on an ocean platform in the same vein as SpaceX Falcon 9 booster. Rocket Lab is looking to fast-track the rocket's first flight to 2024 by using the existing launch pad at Virginia's Mid-Atlantic Regional Spaceport, located at the NASA Wallops Flight Facility. And this is, yet again, Elon Musk changing the world. I mean, it's his influence that is creating an atmosphere where other people can do the same. And the interesting thing is he supports this. He supports other rocket manufacturing companies, and that's, I think, my favorite thing about the guy. Okay. Yeah, Facebook and Instagram have banned Myanmar's militia. Facebook and Instagram have indefinitely banned the Myanmar military, or Tatmadaw, from the platforms. Military-controlled state and media entities are no longer welcome on the platform following this month's coup either, nor are ads from commercial entities linked to the military. I think that's reasonable. Okay. Smile for the camera, dark side of China's emotion recognition technology. Xi Jinping wants positive energy, but critics say the surveillance tool's racial bias and monitoring for anger or sadness should be banned. And this is just, I don't know, but it's kind of dystopian. China has, for those who don't know, surveillance systems installed in major cities, and there's stuff that can catch you when, if you're doing a traffic violation, or if you, especially if you're a pedestrian, and if you, you know, if you break the law, in some cases it's going to track you and stuff like that. And there's also sensors for emotions. And this is one of the Ocean's movies. I'm not sure if it was Ocean's 12 or 13, but it was one of those movies where a casino is protected by camera technology and AI, and it basically tracks people's facial expressions to see if they've legitimately won something or if they're being tricked. And that was the whole plot. And this is kind of like that, but on China's scale. Here's a quote as well. So, ordinary people here in China aren't happy about this technology, but they have no choice. If the police say there have to be cameras in the community, people will just have to live with it. There's always that demand, and we're here to fulfill it, says a technologist who is specializing in emotion recognition technology, the latest evolution in the broader world of surveillance systems that play a part in nearly every aspect of Chinese society. I'm speechless. All right. There's one more bit of news before we wrap this up. Are poison-packed drones the answer to Eastern Australia's mouse plague? A low-level but lasting plague is costing farmers money in lost grain across Queensland, New South Wales and Victoria. A Queensland farmer has been given approval to fly drones in New South Wales that dropped poisoned bait to deal with the worsening mice plague. The end of the long-running drought has been good for farmers, but brought with it mice that feed on grain spilled and left behind during harvesting. Well, it's going to be hard to top this. All right, folks, I hope that has been informative and maybe even a little bit entertaining. Thanks for tuning in. Ciao.